Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Darkhearts.
Hey, Darkhearts. Echo that.
I know. There's a slight lag for us tonight, so I think it would have been a little difficult to try to coordinate that one.
That's why I was like, I'll just wait for you, and then I'll say mine. Retweet, or whatever the kids say.
Listen, I don't even know. I still call it the Tiki Talk, and I know that's wrong. I intentionally make myself sound old to do that.
I think that's just fine. Nope, who cares?
I guess first off, you guys, thanks for being patient with last week's episode. Not 100% sure what happened there. I think something with our hosting site, it just kind of got weird. And of course, it was as I was heading back from vacation. I was the one who had the recording on my laptop and didn't have my laptop with me, so I couldn't re-upload it until I got home later.
But and what are the chances that, like, that's never happened, and the one time it happened was the one time you were, like, unavailable?
Right. So, fun times. So, thanks for being patient. Thanks for those of you who reached out and let us know that, hey, guess what? Episode cut off halfway through. Fantastic.
Y'all. You know, maybe it was something like some paranormal thing. If my episode would have been a paranormal one, that would have been way creepier and kind of fun.
Oh my goodness, that would have been fantastic.
I know.
But so yeah, so we just want to say thank you. Thanks for being patient with us. You know, it's just the two of us taking care of this. And it, honestly, it's my bad. I didn't put our episode into Google Drive, so
it's fine. I mean, you would have had to walk me through it anyway, and that might have just been more painful than just doing it, so it's fine.
It got done. It's good. We're fine. So we just wanted to say thank you guys for understanding and being patient, and you know, hopefully it won't happen again, but I guess we'll see come Wednesday when we upload this.
We'll give it a look, and you
that's
know,
the I mean, other thing. I'm usually so much better about like checking everything, but I'd been on vacation and was coming back, and I was like, oh hey, sweet, it posted everywhere, and that's all I looked. I normally check more thoroughly, but
I know. I don't even remember how did we find out? Someone messaged us or something.
Messaged us, yeah. And then Thank my mom God. Was like, were you not gonna tell me that this hadn't? She's like, yeah, I know. I noticed that. It's like, okay.
My thanks. Mom's like, well, usually I can like see the time that's left, but it just kept going and it said zero. And I'm like, yeah, it was a whole thing.
It was a weird situation. But so whatever. It fixed. Yeah. We're fine.
We're back in the game.
We're all good. That's
Cassie's
you know,
gonna share a little story tonight.
Yes.
I guess not tonight. We're recording at night. Sorry.
Listen, maybe someone's listening to this at night and it would be tonight for them.
I would like to start with one creepy thing, actually, now that we're just sharing.
Yeah.
And this is probably not even creepy, but my neighbor told me, I was outside talking to her tonight, and she said, oh, I was going to tell you, the other day I was walking my dog before I went to work at like 6:30 in the morning, and there was a lady like walking her dog. She's like, I didn't know her, I didn't recognize her, but she stopped right in front of your driveway and pulled out her phone and took a picture of your house and then just walked off.
Oh, fine.
I'm not going to kill. Oh my gosh. I'm not going to lie is where I was going with this. I have been creeped out ever since she told me. And she's like, I should not have told you. I've been going through my doorbell camera
to
nonstop,
try to find it.
And I'm like super creeped out. I don't know if it's because I've been watching a lot of creepy shows lately. It was probably petty and dumb, but like
sometimes I don't know. Like some people I know will take pictures that they like someone's like patio or deck furniture, or like things like that.
Okay,
as long as she only took like one picture.
I mean, I don't know. She said she had her phone out. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Hard to say.
At 6:30 in the morning. I just want everyone to know I'm very creeped out about this. So
I mean, maybe she really liked your door decorations. You have some cute decorations.
I was like, you know what? We're just going to chalk it up to that, because otherwise my mind, I told my neighbor, I said, you know, we do a true crime podcast. So naturally my mind is going in every direction of what that could possibly be. Is my husband kissed out? Is it, I don't even know. That really was totally irrelevant, but I have not told anyone about that yet since that just happened a while ago. So here you go. I was going to text you and tell you anyways, Cassie, but there you go, guys. That's my
story.
Right. My creepy story.
Well, Well, it's like when Trevor said, if I went missing, he would do a podcast with you.
Oh, yeah.
If you go missing or something happens, you'll be an episode on the podcast. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
I don't know who will host it with fine. Me.
But... yeah, you can solve my murder. Gosh.
Turns out Shannon faked her death.
Yes. Turns out. Our... I don't know. Not that smart.
All right. So this week we're in Mobridge, South Dakota, and the Standing Rock Reservation. So they're just separated by the Missouri River.
Okay.
But it's like a short distance from it. So people like they're separated by the Missouri River. But the Standing Rock Reservation is home to the Lakota tribe and is actually the resting place of the great Lakota chieftain Sitting Bull. So it's an interesting little tidbit there.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, and so in the 1980s, which is when our story takes place, there was actually still a lot of racial tension between the whites of Mobridge and the Native Americans. And there were even, like, some shops in the 80s that had signs that said no Indians, which is their words, not, you know.
Right. You're just quoting verbatim what. Yeah.
And because of this, Mobridge has been called the Mississippi of the North, which is not a good epithet to have.
Yeah. That's so sad.
Yeah, I couldn't quite tell. I mean, it's now 2022. I read some articles from, like, 96 and stuff that still made it seem like there's definitely some racism living strong in there. Don't know if that's the case today still. I mean, would we be surprised? No. But before really getting into the story, there's just a few things I kind of want to point out. So like as stated in the episode I did about Oklahoma a few months ago with all the four missing people and one of them was Native American.
Yeah.
There's a disproportionate number of missing and murdered Indigenous people. And of course, even more so when it comes to women. So with that being said, South Dakota has actually one of the highest rates of missing and murdered Indigenous women, which you might also see if you're looking up articles or podcasts or something. It's also just MMIW is the abbreviated form of that. And truthfully, I could do a full episode on just that, on just the missing and murdered Indigenous women. And I just know that even just like one episode isn't going to fully do it justice. So I did want to say there are podcasts out there that are dedicated solely to MMIW cases. And I would definitely encourage our listeners to seek some of those out. Especially, I found one that I added to my list to listen to. I haven't had a chance yet, but it's actually hosted by three Indigenous women. And it's called We Are Resilient, an MMIW True Crime Podcast. And I'll make sure to put that in the show notes and stuff as well. I just think educating yourself on those things and listening to those stories, especially supporting the ones that are told by Indigenous people themselves,
right?
I just think is really important. And then also, according to the website Argus Leader, an article posted in early May of 2022, as of the end of April of just this year, so just this year, April 2022, there were 68 missing Indigenous people. And clearly, I wouldn't be surprised if that number, it's August 1st when we're recording. So I wouldn't be surprised if that number is actually higher now.
Is that just in that area or you mean just overall?
That was just, I think that one was just overall, if I remember right. Maybe it was South Dakota. I think I get later to South Dakota. I think I looked up both.
That's just crazy and like sad because that would never be the case if it was like white people. Yeah, I mean, yeah, still, but not like that.
Yeah. So then another site called Kilo Land had an article from March of this year stating that there's 103 people as of March missing from South Dakota. 62% of that number was Native Americans, Indigenous people, despite the fact that they only make up 8.7% of the state's population.
Really?
So, yes.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And then Indigenous women are 28% of the total missing persons number. So just Indigenous women. Of that 103, 28% of them are Indigenous women. And then 63% of the total of just missing women is Indigenous women. So I know that's a lot of stats there to take up. So, like, break it down.
Yeah.
103 people are missing from South Dakota as of March. Just looking at the women who are missing of that 103, 63% of them are Indigenous women.
Wow.
And that was just in March. That's just the missing. You know, that's not including murdered right. or any other victims. So the U.S. Department, or the U.S. Justice Department, reports that Indigenous women face higher rates of violence and are murdered at 10 times the rate as the national average. Indigenous women also face higher rates of physical and sexual violence, with 46% of Indigenous women having experienced rape, physical violence, or stalking. And that's just the reported cases. Right. Because we all know, I mean, that number is probably higher because we know that in general, those kinds of cases go unreported.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. So despite these statistics, I actually had the hardest time finding information for several cases, current cases that I wanted to cover this week. And there was another cold case I wanted to cover because I knew, being in South Dakota and stuff, I did want to cover an MMIW case. And there was actually a couple. So the first one I was originally looking at was Shayna Youngman, Afraid of His Horses, who was a 17-year-old Native woman who was found dead in February of this year on another reservation. I have it written down. I want to say it's the Pine Ridge Reservation. And shortly after she was found, Cheryl Tia Long Soldier, her remains had been found in February too. So Cheryl's remains had been found, and she had been missing since like January. So her remains were found in February as well. And these were the fourth and fifth deaths on the Pine Ridge Reservation alone in this year.
That's crazy.
And that was just February. And honestly, I was going to do a case just about the Pine Ridge Reservation because it's actually the poorest reservation.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of different things that have gone on there and happened there. But I knew I needed more time to do that one justice. Yeah. I need to be able to do more research and stuff with that. But so both of those women's deaths are being, like, what I found, the only articles I found about Shayna and Cheryl, who were just from February of this year, which it's now August. The only articles I found were from February after their bodies were found.
That's insane.
Shayna, it said a person of interest had been arrested. And Cheryl's was being investigated, but I found nothing else.
Wow.
And I don't understand how that can be the case. And, like, I don't know if it has something to do with the fact that I know a lot of times Native American cases like that, FBI gets involved, and I think they have their own police force and stuff as well. So I don't know if they keep it out, but honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with race and the fact that, like, the main cases we find are white females. Yeah, you know, it's
which is so really sad.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, these people still have families. I mean, whether they're involved in their lives or not, nobody wants to hear that their daughter or whatever was found. And
well, and that's the thing. I think it's so sad because then I was like, I was looking, you know, I wanted an MMIW case, but I was even trying to look for just like a case involving a person of color missing, unsolved, something like that. And like, just finding anything, I kept pulling up white cases. And there's actually, I was trying to look at the case, I wanted to cover the cold case of Delma Lou Sitzpor, who went missing on February 1st of 1974. Again, that was from the Pine Ridge Reservation. But literally the only information I could find was what she was wearing when she was missing and the thing she was doing right before she went missing. And I couldn't find anything else.
Weird. I mean, like, I get, okay, the 70s, but still, you would think there would at least be something more up to date now. I mean, like, did they run DNA now that they have all the things?
But the thing is like, her body's never been found. There's been nothing. And I don't know if tips have ever come
missing.
In.
You said missing.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
And so
that's eerie.
Yeah, there's nothing about it. And so there's so many stories like that. So that's where, again, I want to stress the importance of learning more about these cases, finding the podcasts, especially those done by Indigenous people, or looking for, like, I know there are several podcasts too that cover specifically people of color, looking for those to educate yourself. I know the Fall Line is one I used to listen to, and they would cover a case in a season and stuff like that. And those, I'm behind on that one, but that one was a really well done one. So I just highly encourage, you know, our listeners to, like, obviously we're going to do our best to cover a wide range of victims and things like that. But it's just so important, you know, and I really wanted to stress that because I was getting so frustrated with the fact there was so little information about these women out there.
Yeah.
So actually, I will also say, speaking of podcasts, I got a lot of my information about the case itself from reading the transcript of a different podcast, because it was easier to read it than to find the time to listen to it. So that podcast is called Evidence Locker, and it was episode 50. So just, I haven't listened, I know nothing about it, but I got a lot of good information from reading the transcript, and they had, like, open source. And so I'll link to their transcripts too, because then they had open sources too that they used that they linked in it. So I just want to be transparent. Helpful. Yeah. Okay. So now to dive into our case, we're going to be in August of 1980. And Candace, who went by Candy, Rough Surface, was 18, and she was the youngest of 10 and lived at home with her parents. Oh my gosh,
10.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. So her mom was Alberta Left Hand Rough Surface, and her dad was Daniel Rough Surface. And now, Alberta had actually been married several times before. Her first husband was Ted Martin, and I'm not sure if he was Native American or white, you know, because they mentioned how they were close to the town of Mobridge and stuff. And but they had a son together named Homer. And then, unfortunately, both Ted and Homer passed away. And again, I don't know. I couldn't find much information. That's all they said is they passed away in this podcast. I don't know if it was an accident together or separate. But either way, Alberta, and she was 18, mind you, when she married Ted. So I'm not 100% sure how old she was when they had Homer.
Right.
But she's lost her husband and her child. So she was married three more times after this. She lost one more child. It was actually a daughter who was actually a twin.
Oh.
But, like, despite all of these losses, Alberta was known as a very loving, caring mother, not only to her own kids, but the other children of the reservation as well. And I just wanted to touch on this a little bit, because it's just, she sounds like she was such an amazing mother, and I want people to understand how much this poor woman went through in her life. Like, I can't even imagine how she pushed through, but we'll get more into that.
Okay.
So also to add to the further separation of the white people of Mobridge and the Native Americans living on the reservations, the citizens of Mobridge were flourishing, and unemployment and poverty were, like, pretty much not a thing. And this was a direct contrast to those Native Americans living on the reservations. You know, there's a higher unemployment rate and poverty. And so, you know, they were just very privileged in Mobridge. So back to Candy. She's 18, and she was described as kind, caring, a pretty young woman who wasn't afraid of everything. Like, she was always up for trying new things. She had a great sense of adventure. And she did drop out of high school her sophomore year when she became pregnant by her boyfriend, who was also a Lakota, and his name was Tommy Eagle, which he left the moment he found out she was pregnant.
What a stand-up guy.
And, like, I don't know how, right? And I'm like, I don't know how old he was, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
But still, like, yeah,
really, bro. Okay.
Yeah. But despite this,
pick a better one next time. Just kidding.
So despite all this, though, Candy, she had a ton of love and support from her family. You know, she's the youngest of 10 siblings. Her mom, and dad love her. They support her. Her whole family's there for her. So she's got a great support system. She's working at a local college in Mobridge, like as a cleaner. But she had intended, I mean, she fully intended to finish school and to study to get a better job for herself so she could provide and have a better life for her and her son, who she named Homer, I'm assuming in honor of her
right
eldest brother, who she never got the chance to meet. So on Friday, August 2nd of 1980, Candy came home from work, spent time with her son, got him to bed, and then since it had been payday, she was going to go out for a little while and just blow off some steam.
Hey.
And, right? I mean, she's an 18-year-old girl, and her mom didn't mind watching Homer for her so she could do this. You know, Alberta
it's
knew...
her grandson, yeah.
Yeah, it's her grandson, and Alberta knew Candy's a loving mother. Mm-hmm. She's takes care of her son, she loves her son, she wants to be around him. But Alberta also knows she's an 18-year-old girl, and she wants her daughter to still have some of her teenage years. And she wants to enjoy that. And she understands the importance of, even as a person, as a parent, listen, I'm 34 years old and I love my children, but I still need breaks from them. You know, you still need to go out and blow off steam.
Right. And like, what grandma, grandmother wouldn't want to like, I mean, well, some, I'm sure, I mean, but most I know. In my life. They love yeah. that. So.
Right. And so, I mean, I think that's fantastic. That's so awesome that Alberta was like, yes, go be a teen, enjoy your life, right. you know, because she knew Candy was going to come back and take care of her son.
Right.
You know?
It wasn't like she was just letting her, she was raising the kid or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, not like Candy was out partying every single night. She just, it was payday. She was going to go enjoy it. So Candy started the night off with her sister, Clara, and Clara's boyfriend, and they went to the Silver Dollar Bar. And so in 1980, I guess it was legal for 18-year-olds to consume alcohol as long as it was low alcoholic beer.
That's like so crazy to me.
I mean, personally, I feel like 18 should be the legal limit for smoking and drink, because they upped smoking to 21, too.
They did?
Yeah, a while ago.
Really?
I'm like 98% sure. Yeah.
I think 21 is almost too, like, young for drinking, in my opinion. I just think about how irresponsible. I'm like, think of an 18-year-old, like,
I mean, my game thing is, though, is like... they're going to do it. Also, if an 18-year-old has the mental capacity to make the decision to sign up for the military and risk their lives, I feel like they should be allowed to make that decision. I personally think European countries have a little bit better handle on drinking, and they're a little more strict on if you're drinking and driving. Yeah, and I think sometimes we can get away with that a little too much here. Yeah. So, like...
I just, any 18-year-old I know, nope. I feel like, yeah, they're going to do it regardless, but, like, why hand it to them and be like, here, please make your responsible choices.
Yeah, but they're going to do it anyways. I don't know. I mean, to each their own. We're going to have different opinions. I'm like, they're going to do it anyways. I'd rather they do it legally and responsibly. At least then it's not, like, a taboo thing.
Responsible, like, well, we can just do it. I feel like anyone around that age is going to, well, the majority, in my opinion. I, as a mom, I think it's a different opinion. If I was younger, I'd be like, yeah, it should be 18.
But I'm people a mom, like, I still think it's 18. I still think 18.
I'm just meaning that's where I think my mind would change now. Like, that's, I don't know.
I think also, though, being raised by a mom who was raised by a mom from Spain, where drinking is so much different, and they lived in Spain for a while. Like,
that's fair.
We always had that outlook about alcohol than, you know, it's just a different thing. So, like, I knew about how European countries did it. And, like, I think the legal age is, like, 16 in some countries.
Yeah. Well, if we had all the things that went in line with it, then it would, I mean, just, like, any other law.
Listen, I know of some, like, people in their 50s who have way too many DUIs and keep getting away with it.
Right.
So,
like, it's just one of those things, like, you know, I feel like everybody... or not everybody, but, like, yeah, if there's different things in place, maybe it could make sense. Personally, hard pass on my end. That's it. But, yeah, if there, like, if it was, like, you could do this and this, and there's different stricter laws, but, like, that would have to all go together, too.
I mean, we could have
the old Karen, I guess, because I'm, like, No drinking and listen, driving.
Listen, we could probably do a whole podcast episode about the debate on whether or not it should be legal at a certain age. But anyways, so but right. to point
we're
out,
not going down that road. Yeah,
in 1980, it was legal.
Yes,
for an 18-year-old to drink low alcoholic beer. So after having a couple drinks with her sister Claire and Clara's boyfriend, Candy was feeling a little bit like a third wheel, tag along, you know, whatever. She just wasn't feeling it. So she decided to head out on her own. And her sister tried to convince her to stay, but Candy was just like, nah, I'm not feeling the third wheel vibe, you know? Yeah. So I don't blame her.
That's, no, that's never not fun, fun for anybody. No.
Unfortunately, though, this would be the last time anyone from Candy's family would see her alive.
No, I was hoping it wasn't going that direction, but...
Yeah, unfortunately, it does. So the next morning, Alberta became concerned when she noticed that Candy's bed had not been slept in and that she had not come home, because other times, if Candy went out, even if she stayed the night at a friend's house, she always came home early enough that she'd be there before Homer woke up.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of mom, I mean, yeah. You know, even if she's out, this woman is hungover, I'd be like, mom, you get morning shift for this one.
Right.
But not Candy. She would be there, she's you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Alberta knows that this isn't normal. So she talks to her sister, Clara, you know, she's like, no, she left me, you know? So they decide to ask everyone around the reservation if they had seen her. So these two girls who they weren't friends with Candy, but they knew her, say, yeah, actually, we saw her at the Joker's Wild, which is a bar that was well known to serve underage teens. And it's no longer a bar. So the girls said they saw her alone and they left before she did. So they don't know, but that's where they saw her. And then multiple other people mentioned seeing her at the Joker's Wild, but no one saw her with anyone. So after searching for the whole weekend with no luck, Alberta finally went to the police. And kind of like we mentioned in the Oklahoma one, the Lakota were usually reluctant to go to the police because they knew they weren't going to put forth much effort. And this was exactly the case when Alberta went to the Mobridge police. They told her that Candy had probably run off, deciding that being a teen mom was just too much for her.
Of course.
It's like, what? Why would you not listen to them?
Right. Like, let's just go ahead and, well, just go with your own opinion. They're like, yeah, they don't care.
Yeah. So Alberta didn't give up, though. And she kept pestering them until she finally convinced the police to look into the case. And they went to the Joker's Wild, since this had been brought up multiple times. And the bartender told them that Candy had actually been drinking with Nick Shear. Now, Nick Shear was part of a well-to-do family in Mobridge, and actually two of his older brothers, who were twins, Bill and Jim, had actually been Olympic wrestlers and brought home bronze medals each.
Oh.
So, wow. Yeah. So they're, of course, local heroes. The town sports center, the Shear Howe Center, was actually named after them. And surprisingly, Howe in this, the name Howe comes from a Native American man who was an artist named Oliver Howe, who had painted several murals inside the center. So at this time, with how racist this town sounds, I'm surprised they named
correct
this after. I mean, of course, Donna. The white men's names came first. Yeah, but
naturally.
So when Nick's questioned, he states that he drank with her for a bit and then left before her. But, you know, he's like, there was a lot of people I didn't recognize at the bar that night. I don't know. I guess Mobridge is a hopping town. I don't know.
Yeah. Lit.
So, they also questioned her ex and the father of her child, Tommy Eagle, which makes sense. Usually.
So he's still around. He just was like, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah. And okay. I don't know exactly how large Tommy. The reservation is and stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's
but it true. Sounds like they didn't see. I don't know that he really had. Yeah, I don't think he had anything to do. I don't know if he had anything to do with Homer at all or not. Because when they question him, he talks about how he hasn't seen her. Like, he doesn't see her much. He hasn't seen her in a while. And the night she went missing, he was at home with friends. And his alibi checks out. So the Coda people come together and they search the reservation for candy. Tips came in, some from as far as Minneapolis and some as close as Pierre, South Dakota. And Alberta followed up with every single tip that came in with like local police and stuff. It's unfortunately, yeah, but no luck every time. So now, remember, she went missing at the beginning of August. Several months passed, winter came and went, and then finally in May of 1981, a ranch hand inspecting property for his employer came across a badly decomposing body on the banks of the Missouri River. And so this was such a secluded spot, and we'll come back to this later, but like he had to, like he couldn't just tell the police like, hey, it's in this area. He had to lead them to it. So having been exposed to the elements, the body again was so badly decomposed that it was actually missing a leg, which sounds like they think it was probably from wild animals. And while searching the area for clues, the sheriff found black rimmed glasses, which he instantly recognized from Candace Ruff Surface's picture that they had been posting, you know. A post-mortem exam confirmed that it was Candy, that her time of death was in August, most likely the night she disappeared, and that she had been raped before being shot to death. The cause of death was 5 bullet wounds to the head.
Dang. I mean, like, hopefully that was quick at least, but gosh, I mean, there's no good way. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's how I'd want to go, I guess. If you got to go in one way or another, do it quick. But that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's still terrible. And I know you can still live through sometimes those things. So you never know.
Yeah. The Lakota all mourned her death and questioned, I mean, how such a kind and caring young woman could meet such a violent end. Like, she didn't have enemies.
This and wasn't 5 times. Like, the more you think, I mean, one, okay, but like 5 just seems like someone very angry and like, I don't know. Well, we'll find out, won't we? I can tell by the look on your face.
Angry, you can see it, but
those eyebrows went up.
You know.
They're talking.
We'll get there. So the police had difficulties investigating her death since the white residents of Mobridge didn't want to get involved with Native American affairs. And the Native Americans didn't trust the police to investigate properly, and they just wanted to find the murderer themselves. So that was difficult. Plus, I mean, how hard were the police investigating?
Right. Probably.
The people who were like, oh, she ran away because she didn't want to be a mom.
Right.
So the police were suspicious of the man who found Candy's body, and his name was Steve Sheldon, because she'd been in such a remote location. They were like, obviously we didn't find her for months on end. And you just happened to, like, the chances of finding her body randomly were pretty slim.
But they it sounds like it was pretty tucked away.
Yeah. So they couldn't find anything, though, linking him to Candy. So then 2 weeks after Candy's body had been found, just that a young man came forward saying that he and a friend had been fishing near that area that day she went missing. It was the day after she went missing. And he apparently remembered this date specifically because it was significant to him for some reason, but who knows why. So I'm like, okay.
Who remembers that stuff? No.
Yeah. So this boy testifies that they saw a shirtless man running away from that area as if they had startled him. And this guy even gave a description of the man, and I think they maybe did like a sketch and everything, but no one recognized him.
And why did they wait that long? Like, if you see something that sketch and someone's missing, like, maybe just volunteer that information earlier. Thanks.
And, I mean, it sounds like he was probably a white boy, and again, they didn't care to get involved. That's true. I don't know. But maybe it's because now it sounds like maybe, Steve Sheldon, I think, was a white man, so. But, so this guy, this kid, whoever came forward, said he didn't personally know Candy, but the friend who had been fishing with him did because he went to school with her cousin, Rusty. Who is this friend, you ask? Let me tell you. It's none other than Nick Shear.
Okay, remind me who Nick Shear is again. Nick Shear. I know Shear's we talked about the name, but just let's link it together.
he's the kid the bartender said he saw drinking with Candy the night she disappeared.
Oh, the same kid. Okay. Said, okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So confirm he was drinking with her.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He was fishing the next day.
The next day. Near where her body was found.
Okay, yes. There's our timeline.
But her body wasn't found yet. It was the day after she went missing.
And they saw someone suspicious running off. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Apparently this wasn't enough of a connection for them to re-interview Nick, though. You know? Because insert eye roll there.
Yeah, that's a little bit not a coincidence, turns out, probably. Right.
This kid's name came up a couple times. So then a month after this, the police get a call from a young woman named Daisy, which I'm assuming is an alias. Yeah. Because we didn't have a name for the other guy, but whatever. But that's too nervous to come in, and all she would tell them was to talk to a boy named Mike, because he might know more. She wouldn't say anything else. And that's it. Like, they couldn't... I don't know. There's nothing saying whether or not they followed up on the whole Mike tip. My guess is probably not hard, if they did at all.
Right. Yeah, so they probably said, don't care.
Yeah. So despite pressure from the Lakota people, nothing more came of these tips, and Candy's case went cold. And it went cold for 15 years.
Okay. So we're in the late 90s. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get there. But during this 15 years, more tragedy strikes the Ruff Service family. Because Candy's own father, Daniel, was found dead in the crawl space of an abandoned grain elevator in 1986.
Oh.
He was naked and showed signs of having been raped.
Oh, God. No.
His case, unlike his daughter's, was quickly solved, though. And his own nephew, Donald Ruff Service, was arrested.
What? Wow. Yeah. I was hoping it was some, like a farming accident or something, but okay, that's terrible.
So, Donald pled not guilty, stating that he'd been drinking with his uncle all day, and it was a moment of insanity. But he was still found guilty, and he was sentenced to life in prison. So again, let's look at poor Alberta, who's already lost one husband and child. She's lost two children. Now she's lost three children and a second husband.
She wasn't married to him, though, currently at the time, right?
No, she was.
Okay. Oh, yeah. She was. So this was her current husband. Oh, gosh. Oh.
Yeah.
That's sad.
So she lost her first husband and her first child. Then she lost the twin, one of her twins. Then she lost Candy. And then she lost this other husband.
That's insane.
Yeah. So that's why I kind of wanted to also point out that, like, in the beginning, I wanted to, like, kind of give some background on Alberta, too, because, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Like people, oh, my goodness, that woman is, yeah. And I think she probably raised Homer, too. It kind of sounded like she ended up raising Homer.
Yeah, because who else would that... It's not like they're going to give him to the dad. Well,
no. I mean, she has siblings and stuff who maybe would have, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah. So, anyway, so finally then... Okay, so now in October of 1995, Mobridge police get a phone call from a woman in Eagle River, Wisconsin, saying that her ex-son-in-law actually has information about a murder of a Native American girl from there in the 1980s. Yep. And we're going to get into that whole thing. So police track down this son-in-law, who is James Stroh, S-T-R-O-H, Stroh, the second. He goes by Jimmy. So he agreed to tell them what he knew if they promised him a plea deal, which they did. So now what I'm going to tell you now is all, this is now going forward for a bit, is all according to Jimmy on what happened to that night.
Okay.
So, according to him, in August of 1980, he was visiting family in Mobridge, South Dakota, and had been spending a lot of time with his cousin, who was none other than Nick Scheer.
Yeah, he was. Okay.
So, at this point, Nick is 16, by the way, and Jimmy is 15. Yeah. So in August of 1980, when Candy was 18, so again, remember, The Joker's Wild was known to serve underage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So Jimmy said that on the night in question, he and Nick had gone to the Joker's Wild, and they had gone with Nick's friend, Mike. Remember?
The fishing Mike. Boy.
No. Right? Mike is the one.
Oh, the one that the girl said, Daisy or whatever said. Okay.
To talk to Mike. Now, it doesn't sound like, it sounds like Mike left early.
Okay.
And then Nick sees Candy and invited her over to drink with the two of them. So eventually Jimmy and Nick needed to leave because they were expected at a party at a ranch just outside of town. So Nick invites Candy to come along. And at first she's like, no, I'm not going all that way. Right. But then Nick promises to give her a ride home. So she's like, okay, cool. Because remember, she's always up for an adventure. She likes meeting people. She's not, you know. And also, let's remember, she kind of knows Nick. Like, he goes to school with her cousin, Rusty. Also, his family is a well-known family in the town.
Right.
I'm sure she's like,
probably didn't think she was in any sort of danger. Yeah. We're just going to party and have fun. And she has a night out, so she's all about it.
Exactly. And she's got a ride back home, so it's good. So they get to this party, which is actually being thrown by Steve Sheldon, the guy who found her body that the police were suspicious of.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is weird.
Yeah. So the thing is like, Mike is never brought up again past this point, and neither is Steve Sheldon. I don't know how old Steve was. I don't know. Did he actually know? Did he quote unquote find the body, or did he legitimately find the body? I don't know.
Like, it was just his property, right? Was it his property?
It was. He was a ranch hand. He was a ranch hand, so it was like his employer's property.
Okay, but so, the party is at his place, though.
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily related. Okay. No, I'm just like trying to make sure how this could work.
Yeah.
Out. Okay.
Yeah. This sounds like a pretty rural town. Like, there's a lot of farms and stuff around here and everything, too.
Right. Okay.
So, while at the party, Jimmy states that Nick continually tried to come on to Candy, trying to pull her into his lap, trying to kiss her, and she just wasn't having it. And eventually she got so tired of it, she was like, okay, you need to take me home now, like you promised. Like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
We're done. And so Nick agrees, but he's pretty pissed off. Like, he's not happy, and he makes Jimmy come over and they all get in the truck to go. But he can't take a hint, so he continues to try and put the moves on Candy, because I'm sure he's never been told no in his life.
Right. And he's an entitled little thing.
He's an entitled... I actually have my notes. What an entitled little prick.
Yeah. Sounds about that, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, apparently Candy gets really pissed. No shit. Rightfully so. Right. And says that if he doesn't stop, she knows someone who will beat them up. And she supposedly even slaps Jimmy at some point. I don't know why. But this apparently sends Nick into a rage. And he slams on the brake of his truck in the middle of the rural country road and pushes her out of the truck. And he gets out and he tells Jimmy to get out too. And he proceeds to beat her. And now she tried to fight him off, but he was stronger than her and she couldn't.
And there's two of them then at that point.
Well, Jimmy supposedly sitting back and not doing anything.
Oh, yeah, because he's telling the story right now. So, of course, he's not. He's very innocent.
Yeah. Okay. So then when she was defenseless on the ground, Nick raped her. And when he was through, Jimmy then raped her as well.
Oh.
According to Jimmy, he was so afraid of what his cousin might do to him that he just went along with it. But I'm like, okay, I guess I don't really know the situation, especially not being a man.
Right.
If you're that afraid for your life, can you get it up enough to do that? Like,
right. Like, that's like a mob mentality type thing there. But like with one, I know that's where I call BS there. Like,
right. So, I mean, probably was. Like, yeah. I mean, so he said, well, Nick was beating her and initially raping her. He was just standing by the truck. So then he does this, and Jimmy said Candy could barely move and she was crying, which no shit she was.
Yeah.
When Nick goes back to his truck and grabbed a .22 firearm, so I don't know if it's like a shotgun or a pistol, and I don't even know what if a .22 can be a pistol or just a shotgun.
I don't know.
not a firearms expert, but he shot Candy, according to Jimmy, twice in the back and three times behind the right ear.
Oh.
And so despite the fact that she was already dead, Jimmy says that Nick made him shoot her too, and that he shot once, but he didn't know if he hit her or not.
Why so many times?
Well, it's like you said earlier, he was angry. He was pissed that she dared reject him.
You rejected, yeah, at all. And it always ends up being something like that. Like,
it's
rejection.
Always the fragile male ego. Sorry to our male listeners. Sure. But
yeah, it is true though. Those are the ones, like the biggest douchebags that just, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna show you. Like, okay, yeah. Cool. You're a real big tough guy.
Exactly.
Rotten prison.
Right. So now, of course, they need to get rid of her body, but Nick doesn't want blood in his truck. So the two take a chain and wrap it around Candy's nude body and attach it to the bumper of the truck. And they drag her 1 mile down the country road before dumping her body. And just to add insult to injury, they stole the money from her purse and split it between the two of them before throwing her purse away.
Wow. Yeah. Sick.
Yeah. Yep. So Jimmy keeps all of this to himself for 10 years and then he can't take it anymore. And then he ends up telling around 10 people. So I guess it's like a person per year. Like, I don't know.
Wow. Guilty much. I mean, like,
yeah,
clearly you're living with that.
They were all friends and family who he told, but not a single one of them reached out to the police. His ex-mother-in-law only did it because of her daughter and him had a horrible, nasty divorce. Okay. And so this sounds like a, fuck you, you hurt my daughter, so now go to jail.
Yes.
Which I'm like, I'm sorry, you didn't think that maybe the man who murdered a girl as a teen shouldn't marry your daughter and should go to jail?
Correct. That's a very
I don't understand the mentality of the people who kept that to themselves.
I know.
And I kind of feel like they should be charged with something.
I agree.
I think
you're almost just like aiding and abetting in a sense.
Yeah.
Like concealing information.
Yeah. I don't know. That's so gross. So Nick,
that
of course, denied.
Gross.
Yeah. So Nick denies the claims, of course. But the confession's enough to arrest him. But before they even did that, they actually got a recorded phone call between Jimmy and Nick where Nick implicated himself. So you have Jimmy saying this, you have Nick implicating himself. Seems like even if you don't have physical evidence, like that should be good enough.
Right. And he's like tied to her in a lot of other like convenient ways.
Yeah. Like it's circumstantial, but it's pretty convincing circumstantial evidence.
Right. Like, find something else to arrest him for and then hold him until, you know, you can...
But they didn't even need something else to arrest him for. They had plenty with the confession.
Oh,
so,
well, yeah, the confession, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm guessing that's not what's going to happen. Okay.
Yeah. So while awaiting trial, Jimmy has to sit in jail. But Nick, by the way, he's married and has children now and a career as a diesel mechanic, which FYI, they make a good amount of money usually. So he posts a $200,000 bond and gets to just keep living his sweet life until trial, which of course rightfully angers the Lakota people.
Oh yeah.
Because you know, that wouldn't have, I mean, Jimmy didn't get to it, but that's, if it had been a Lakota man.
No, I was just going to say no way, no how.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Especially because the funds, they probably wouldn't have had the funds. Like, you know, he probably just gets it from daddy or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably makes good money, but still.
I said, being a diesel mechanic, he probably makes good money. But so Nick's trial is in April of 1996. And because they were teens at the time, they were tried as juveniles.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But again, like I said, there's no physical evidence linking them to it. It's just the confessions. So I don't know if that's why the prosecutors agreed to this or what, but to avoid the death penalty, Nick pleads guilty to manslaughter.
Manslaughter?
Manslaughter. That's it. Like, it doesn't even say anything about sexual assault or anything. And fucking manslaughter is an accidental death.
Correct. Like, you hit some kid that rode their bike in front of you.
Second degree. Yeah. Second degree murder is you didn't plan it, but you knew what you were doing. And this fucker knew what he was doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
That's 100%. Yeah. And then hiding the body, concealing it. Like, you mm-hmm. were trying to cover up the crime because you knew yes. it was wrong.
Yeah. So, okay. of course, he's, like, talks about, like, he says he's so sorry and he wishes he could take it back. And the whole reason why he didn't say anything is because he was afraid and ashamed. It's like, go fuck yourself.
Right. Sorry. Maybe you should have thought about that before. And, like, it makes me wonder if the, well, maybe not, but the bar that were serving him alcohol and he was still underage, if they, I know it's different than, like, a DUI situation yeah. where, like, they could be charged, but, like, it all,
well, and at this point, convenient. 15 years later, yeah, I don't know if true. The Joker's wife oh, was yeah. even a thing anymore. But like, so
this is crazy.
He's sentenced to 100 years in prison, not to be served in South Dakota for his own safety, which I'm like, fuck him. Put him in a South yeah. Dakota
oh,
prison.
Like his, her safety really didn't matter either. Yeah. So. And yeah. he's just had 15 years living his best life. So.
Right. Mm. Right. Probably 16 if you think about it, because his trial. That's true. Little, you
by
know?
The time he actually
yeah.
went.
Yeah. So Jimmy then, because he made a plea deal, was found guilty of sexual assault and second degree manslaughter. Which I'm like, okay, if you put sexual assault on his, how are you not going to do that with Nick?
Right. And that's like, yeah, seems like more of a severe charge anyway than just
yeah.
manslaughter. You know, like, but yeah. he, that's a plea deal. Like,
yeah, well,
that's an interesting concept.
Well, because he only got sentenced to 15 years. But he was paroled in 2004, so he only served oh. 8 years. So, oh, I mean, wow. he's, yeah.
Okay, so he, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
In the long
so
run,
he was,
I guess he got off better.
He was 30, Jimmy was 31 when he was sentenced. So, I mean, he was only going to be 39, 40 when he got out.
That's
not to mention the 15 years
ahead.
He had prior.
Right.
So, yeah.
Mm, that's like a slap on the wrist, really.
Uh-huh. The Lakota people felt that the charges and sentencing weren't harsh enough, and that if it had been a white girl murdered, things would have been different, which I completely agree.
100%.
So this is where, and mind you, these are interviews taking place in like 95, 96, okay?
Okay.
So the white residents of Mobridge seemed to think that it had been so long ago and it was just a case of juvenile indiscretion, and that it was just a native girl.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
That's sick.
Oh, you're about to get real angry, too. A reporter even interviewed a local shopkeeper who said, quote, "These Indians kill each other all the time anyway, if they don't get drunk and freeze to death. It's kind of an everyday thing," end quote. Shockingly, he wanted to remain anonymous because he didn't want to offend his Native American customers. It's like, fuck you. You didn't want to lose revenue right. and you knew what you said was
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, you want their money still. They're good enough for that, mm-hmm. aren't they? That's sad. Yep. Like, they're human beings. Like, I don't understand. I mean,
I can't imagine that thought process
at that's all. Just terrible. That's...
Well, yeah. you're going to, the anger's going to continue. So in July of 2019, Nick Shear was released on parole at the age of 54, only having served 23 years. And he moved to Sioux Falls, South Dakota with his family.
Oh, hey, all mm-hmm. my fam there. You know that oh. guy? Steer clear. Oh.
Oh, to more. Add insult to injury, Homer, Candy's son, was not notified that he was going to be paroled. Which I thought you had to notify Whoa. Victims' families.
Yeah. For multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. And so Homer then at this point is like, what, well into his 20s-ish?
At this point, no, by the time Nick's released, he was like 40.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I guess it took the whole 15 years before they even, okay.
Yeah, and then Nick served 23 years. But
I hope that Homer just makes his way down and happens to find him and oops.
Well, let me tell you. So I was like, God. Hey, yes. Where are these two fuckers now? Jimmy, I couldn't find. I don't know.
Yeah, he probably changed his name and moved away. Like, yeah, you better get some soap on a rope.
However, karma came for Nick pretty quick after he got out of prison because he died in April of 2021 of cancer.
What kind? And did listen, it say?
I think it didn't. I don't remember now.
I was just
pancreatic.
Curious if it was. Yeah, so, I mean,
listen,
no cancer is good
I don't
cancer,
know,
but just curious.
Listen, this fucker, if anyone deserved cancer, he deserved cancer.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he deserved way worse than that, even though. Like, I hope it was a very painful death for him.
He got 15 years of life, just living his life. He only served 23 years, so at least he only got, like, barely 2 years, not even 2 years fully out. And who knows when the cancer hit him and started ravaging him. I mean, I saw an obit for him. It's like, he was surrounded by his family. It's like, get fucked.
Okay, good for him. Because was Candace? Nope, no, she wasn't.
She sure wasn't. And you kept her from her family.
What happened to the mama? So, is she still around? Is it? Did actually, you find out or know any?
I'm getting at you. Okay. So I wanted to add on. Nope, you're fine. So I wanted to put in there, like, Jimmy, I don't know. I found some obituaries for some Jimmys, but I don't know if it's the right one. So we'll just say he got his too. Yeah, Alberta did unfortunately pass in 2009. She was at the age of 85. So
that's a pretty full life of, I mean, geez.
And so
rough life.
Yes. But she believed that with her murder being solved, Candy's spirit was free to move on. And the Lakotas actually believe that death is not an ending, but a transition into a new life. That one's spirit walks to exist in a spirit world that is free of pain and suffering. So I wanted to end the story there, with the thought that Candace Rough Surface is continuing on in the spirit world with her mother now, and her mom is surrounded by her husband's. Woman's got a little
kids, like, her kids. At this point, you think about who else she's lost along the way. I mean, probably that just wasn't mentioned.
Yeah. But so I thought that was such a beautiful sentiment, that death isn't the end. You know, it's we shuffle off this mortal coil into a spirit world. And I mean, I just, so much about that case angered me. So I wanted to try to end on a thing that was positive. Like, Alberta was such an, it sounds like she was such an amazing and strong woman, how she went through that. And so now her and her daughter and her children, they're reunited, and hopefully Homer, you know,
I was going to say, did it say much about him?
One of the things I saw where he was interviewed about, Nick being released, you know, he talked about how he didn't have siblings or things like that growing up, because that was taken from him, you know?
That's so true. Yeah.
So I don't know. Hopefully he was still surrounded by family. Hopefully he had a good life. But yeah, that's, again, I just want to encourage everyone, go listen to podcasts by people of color, by women of, you know, indigenous women and stuff, about those cases too. If you know of cases specifically of missing or murdered indigenous women, even the men, and people of color and stuff like that, like, let us know. I will say, because that's another thing, like I said, like, I tried to search for stuff because I want to be able to highlight those cases too. And it's so hard to find some of those.
I hope that, like, it'll start to become more of, like, a thing. I mean, with the times, I feel like people are at least more aware of these things now, where you can bring more light to them. Because I think a lot of this stuff, like, people just like, yeah, I don't care. No one's going to talk about it. But now that people are, like, talking about it, they're very woke, if you will, I guess is that's where you're trying to get, but
it's, that's why
that it even has to get to that point.
Yeah. But that's why, like I said, I wanted to encourage people to go out and find podcasts, especially those by the people who, you know, they're in the minority and they're affected by this more strongly. Like, I can read about these things as a white woman, but I can only fathom so much of it, you know, not having lived and walked in those shoes. And I just, so like I said, strongly encourage our listeners to, you know, look for and reach out and listen to those types of podcasts as well, which, I mean, I'm sure a lot of them probably do, but so that's Mobridge, South Dakota. Real messed up. We really need to start covering more, as a nation, as a whole. We need to be focusing on these other people. It's not just the pretty little white girls and kids. And so it's a heartbreaking case. I'm glad, even though it was clearly just as a spite thing, I'm glad at least Candace and her family got that closure with, you know, someone finally coming forward. But I'm like, how do you live with yourself having had someone confess to you?
I know.
And just being,
and do,
like,
nothing.
Okay.
Like, that's a heavy burden to carry. And why, why?
Yeah.
Especially after that long. Like, I don't know. You would like to think that adults, especially if they had like their own families and whatnot, right. Like you think of it from that standpoint, like, right. Come on.
But I mean, let's face it, and the people he associated with were probably, and maybe some of his family is a little more progressive and not so racist, but let's face it, it kind of sounds like this is a racist area that
very
at least
so.
It had been at that point. Like I said, I don't know, maybe in 2022, Mobridge is
a
legit place, but.
That's sick that people can even talk about humans like that, you know? I just don't get it, but.
Yeah. So, like I said,
I'll link the
podcast that I mentioned and the articles and stuff as well. But yeah, guys, that was
heavy, man. That was I was already having like a bad day. And so it's like, you know, now I'm just like angry. I'm glad I turned emo emotions into anger because now I'm just all heated. Like,
well, so I was sitting at the dining room table yesterday typing up my notes and apparently I was sighing a lot. And I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean what? He's like, you sighed. I was like, well, this case is so fresh because I kept going. And he's like, you sound pissed. I was like, I am pissed. I don't think you understand. He's like, why are you doing this?
Pounding on the keyboard.
Yeah. But really? Why are you doing this then? I was like, well, it needs to be told, but I just, these people.
Seriously. So
it was, you know.
Well, I hope people change. I don't know where I was going with that. That was an empty-ended thought there. I'm tired. I'm just late. Mad.
It's been
it's been a week. It's Monday.
It's Monday. I'm still because my body, I'm such an old woman. My body is still like, bitch, your sleep schedule was off for like a week and a half. Oh, so now we're going to hate you forever.
Mine is like finally back and I was dragging for like a month. I kid you not.
Well, I was an hour ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say when there's time changes. And then we
came back and it was just then too, like just not our normal sleep schedule. The kids went to sleep way later than normal.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to sleep way, and then we were getting up way earlier than normal. And it's just too much. And then last night I was asleep last night. I'm sure everyone cares, by like 10 o'clock. And then Trevor comes up because he had fallen asleep on the couch. He comes up at like 2 a.m. And he is so loud getting his phone plugged in. But then he walks downstairs and I'm like, so did classic. He just decide he's going to sleep downstairs? Like, what's going on? Because he was down there for so long. And then he comes up and he shuts the door, but he's just standing by the foot of our bed. And mind you, I've been watching so many creepy things, lady. I finished, like I said, Midnight Mass, which is so good. I highly recommend.
It's on the list.
I've been watching season one of Channel Zero, which is a sci-fi show based, and each season is based on a creepypasta story.
Slenderman.
So he's just standing there and I'm like, finally, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Dude. And now, mind you, right before I said this, I kind of noticed there's a car outside. I can hear its bass bumping. Like they're just parked with their music and the bass bumping, which I'm again, an old lady. I hate the sound of bass thumping.
Oh yeah. I've always hated that. I don't care. Even when I was young, like it's stupid. Right? Nobody thinks it's cool.
So he's like, there's a car just parked out there with its music blaring. I was like, yeah. It's like, okay. I didn't notice this because I was sleeping. So then of course it took me forever to get to sleep. And then I almost slept through my workout this morning, but I got up and I did it. And then I came back home. And then I came back home and I went back to sleep after I showered. But
you know what? That's much needed. That's fine.
Then it was work and then coming back to this. So all of that long ramblingness was to say we're both very tired and still trying to get used to things. That's why we're getting a little rambly.
Very rambly.
You know.
And I don't even care right now. Because if you don't like to hear it, you can turn it off. It's fine.
Listen, we like to chat a little bit. We hope you like to chat with us. I personally like the podcast where they chat because I like to get to know them that way. Because then I'm like, it's like listening to my friends talk.
I was listening to one this weekend and I was like laughing and I was like, they're so funny. And I was like, they don't even know I exist. I was like, they're my best friends. Oh, wait. Yeah, they don't know me. Okay.
It's fine. But I like that feeling. And so, like, for me personally, that's the type of podcast I want to have. And some people don't like podcasts with chit chat, and that's cool.
Then don't listen to that. But if you do,
If you do, don't leave us a bad review just because you don't like the chit chat. Just be like, you know, I'm just
not for me. Not my cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea. I'm going to move on. Cool. Correct. But if you guys could rate and review us, if you like us, that would be great.
Yeah. You know, and it always laughing, like for anyone that listens to Small Town Murder, they're always like, you know, rate us, review us. We don't know why, like it, but it helps us with our business. Right. But just do it. And that's exactly right. Like we don't understand even,
they're even like, you don't even have to say anything about us. Yeah. You can tell us your favorite sandwich. Listen, I don't care. You could be like, I like unicorns. Cool. Me too.
All you have to do is click that. You're already in the screen. Just scroll down. It's super easy and it helps us out.
Yes.
Because we want to do more giveaways, but we're going to need some more things to get going on that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, listen, we only make so much money on our own. So we need to generate ads. Yeah. If anyone knows of someone who might want to sponsor us, let's know.
You know, we've got what, over 11,000 downloads now?
No, I think we're at 15.
Oh wow. See, I don't know how to check things, Cassie. This is
Cassie's the tech person and Shannon is our arts department.
I try.
So, you know, it works out well for us. It's fine. Except for when I'm in a car and don't have access.
I couldn't even send an email to the company correctly. Cassie's like, where did you even do it? I'm like, I don't know. I clicked the thing. So yeah, listen, it's fine. Just rate and review us though, guys. That's what we want. That's what we need. Once again, we would love you. We still do love you. And share your stories. We had some people this week send some stuff, and that's amazing. Like, hit us up. We love it.
On any of our things like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitters, or email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. And if you just want to reach out and be like, hey, you ladies are the most amazing and we love you so much.
Like, that would also be cool. We might even give you a shout out for that. We really like nice people. Thank you.
You know, listen, we like an ego boost every now and then. Okay. It makes us feel real good.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just like, seems like a lot of work and it's not, like, we love to do it, but sometimes you just need to be reminded why you do it. You know?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay. I had to look up. I was wrong. I don't know where I got 15,000 from. I swear we're at 15,000.
Is it?
It's almost 12. It's fine.
That's still good.
That's still great. Amazing.
Like, that's insane. My mom was like, yeah, I was trying to tell your dad. Okay, she's going to say, I don't talk like that. I'm not going to do a voice for her. Sorry about it right now, mom.
Do a voice.
She's always like, I don't sound like that. Okay, here's the mom voice, just because she's going to be super annoyed. She does not sound like this, just for the record, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
No, she is like, I was trying to tell your dad how many you had, and I thought, she's like, I sent 11,000. I was like, no, that can't be right. And I was like, oh no, that is right. Thank you. She was like, really? Like, she didn't believe me. I'm like, hey, where's the confidence at, lady? Okay.
Where's the love? I know and I'm support. Like,
I don't have a lot of successes in my life. Be proud of this. I can talk about murders and bodies. And you're welcome.
My son is always like, how many subscribers do you have now? How many? I was like, I don't know, kid. Like,
oh my gosh.
And so the poor kid. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I told him 15,000. I lied to my child. But he's like, fine. That's way more than 10,000. It's like,
sure is.
Yep, it is.
Last night we were at a friend's and there were some people we hadn't seen in a while. And one of my friends was like, hey, tell me about your podcast. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't like talking about it because I don't want to be, you know, and there's like a lot of people and they're staring at me. I just, I don't know. It's just like a thing. We just like talk about murders and stuff. And then next thing, you know, my daughter comes out. And I was like, hey, can you just tell them what the trailer says? Because she legit has it memorized. And they were dying. She was like, I should have her say it sometime because it's great. And she was like, two friends, myself, Cassie, and me, Shannon, get together, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, she's like, because sometimes the heartland is more of a dark land. And they were like, did you train her to do that? And I was like, no, she's our number one fan. Her and your son. Yeah, I was hysterical. I'm like, I'm just going to carry you around and you just tell people, well, who needs business cards?
Yeah.
I got a 9-year-old.
Right? Yeah.
Anyway, that was fun times.
All right. We should probably end our rambling. I'm sure people at this point are like, oh my God. Well, they probably shut it off by now.
Yeah, that's fine. And if they didn't, then wow, you are really our best friend. So
yes, cool. Thank you.
On that note, we'll talk to you soon. We'll see you next week.
Dark Until hearts. Next time, stay heartland kind,
but darkland wary.
I forgot.
No, it's okay. There's...